Hey, just want to let you know, we're about ready to start. We're going to be joining the forum for the candidates for the municipal election. Remember, the election is on May 8th. The forum is tonight in about 1 or 2 minutes. We'll be carrying it live here on KPIN Radio. I will be recording it, and Dawn Ballou will put it on her website, pinedaleonline.com, in a day or so, so that if you weren't able to listen tonight, you can listen at your convenience online. Hey, this broadcast, the radio part of it anyway, the radio broadcast is brought to you by James Thomas, who is an associate broker out at High Mountain Real Estate. Big thank you to James Thomas. During the break between the town council candidates and the mayor candidates, I'm going to tell you about a few of the homes and property that he has listed. So stick around for that between the two programs. There'll be about a 10-minute break between the town hall count. The town hall candidates and the mayor candidates. They're going to do town council first and then mayor second. So keep your radio right here. Call a friend or two that lives in town. Tell them this is a place to tune in, learn a little bit about the upcoming election. Live broadcast. If you want to go see it in person, it's in the Shepherd Auditorium in the high school, and they're getting ready to start here just about any minute.
And welcome to the Town of Pinedale Candidate Forum. My name is Jennifer Zook, and I'm the Executive Director of the Sublette County Chamber of Commerce. Tonight, we have both candidates for mayor and town council. The upcoming election will be held on May 8th at the Wrangler Gym. There will be one seat open for mayor and two seats open for town council. I forgot something very important. I'd like to introduce Jim Hamilton. And he's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The forum is hosted by multiple organizations, including Endeavor, Sublette Examiner, Pinedale Roundup, Pinedale Energy Partners, Pinedale Online, Ultra, Sublette BOCES, KPIN, JONA, and the Sublette County Chamber of Commerce. We want to make a special thank you to all the sponsors who helped make this happen. The forum questions tonight were derived from the community. A survey went out to community members. Every question that's asked tonight came from a question submitted by a community member. The moderators will go through the procedures and process that we'll use here tonight, and I'll introduce them in just a second. I would like to make a note that we have one candidate that was unable to come tonight due to a family emergency. So Susan Lynn is also running for town council, but she was unable to make it. I would also like to thank a few individuals for making the forum happen. Patrick Rukas, who helps with the sound and the lights from the school district. Dave Smith, who's also up in the box there. Bob Rule, Chase Harbor, and our moderators, Holly Dabb and Mindy Crabb.
Okay, the rules of engagement, the rules of the forum. Each candidate will have 1 minute for an opening remark. We're going to see how fast they can think on their feet. They have not seen these questions before. The questions will rotate, each person will have a chance to answer each question, but we'll rotate who starts them so that somebody has to start. I'm sorry. As I said, 1 minute to answer each question, and we do have timers down here in front, and they will be giving 30 and 15-second warnings so that the candidates know that they're getting close to their time, and there's a bright red stop sign just in case she's ready. So those are the rules of engagement. Okay. So, to all candidates, please provide the audience with the following information in your brief opening remark. What is your vision for Pinedale in the next 4 years? Please provide any board, commission, or council experience you have. Why are you interested in the mayor or council position, council in this case? And what experience do you have that is relevant to this position? And we will start with Isaac Best.
My name is Isaac Best. I've lived in Pinedale area since 2015. I don't have necessarily a specific vision for Pinedale. The primary reason I'm running, or one of the reasons I'm running, I should say, is because I fell in love with Pinedale after I moved here, and I want to see Pinedale flourish while continuing to be the town that I fell in love with. The closest thing I have to experience on a board or forum would be I participated in 3 mock legislatures during high school, and I also was a page at the Idaho House of Representatives. Relevant experience, I don't have anything particularly to government experience, but I have worked several different areas that I think will probably be coming up, building. I've worked aviation, IT, many things.
Dean, would you like to go next?
I'm Dean Loftus. I have been a resident of Pinedale for 29 years and have raised my family here. I have a son that's 24 and a daughter that's 22 and another son 20 and another son 18, and been involved in the community and various aspects of their growing up and different things going on. I have been on a board of a nonprofit for the last 25 years and have been serving in that capacity. And then I also have tried to keep abreast as much as I can with the city and what's going on as far as pertinent things that are taking place. And so with that, I'd like to bring my knowledge and my time of being in Pinedale as a citizen to a point where I can help facilitate decisions that will help the future of Pinedale.
John, are you ready?
Nailed it. My name is John Parvacini. I'm fifth generation Sublette County resident, and I've been in town for since 2003. Actually,
move to the front of your face, please.
Yes, Mr. Smith. Been in town since about 2002, married with 3 kids, ages 16, 15, and 4. Pity me. Experience. I've worked in the Sublette County Assessor's Office for almost 15 years, and I've been attending town council meetings for probably a term and a half, so 4 to 6 years off and on. The past 3 years has been more intensive, and my vision for Pinedale is getting back to civility and trying to right some of the wrongs I feel that we've had and really get everybody on the same page.
Tim Lingle.
My name is Tim Lingle. I've been in Pinedale since 2005. My wife and I moved here from Oregon. We've since had 2 kids. We've been raising their 6 and 4, and my daughter was born about a month before I was first elected to town council in 2012. I served 4 years on town council up till 2016. And I'm running now because I'd like to finish some projects that we started way back then and continue to, you know, make Pinedale a great place to live. I think we maybe hit a speed bump a few years ago that I'd like to help rectify getting us through that and make our town government more responsive and more professional. So, thanks.
For the first question, Dean, you're going to be the first one to answer this one.
Okay.
In order of priority for the town of Pinedale, please share your top 3 priorities.
I would say that the first priority would be to bring unity to the council and some civility as far as what has been going on. The second thing would be to do some long-term planning on our water wasting. And, you know, we've had the bleeder issue, and we talk about the bleeders, but my concern now, after I've been monitoring what I've been bleeding, is the huge amount of water that's wasted, and I think we need to be addressing that. And then lastly, just to make Pinedale continue to be a place that people want to raise their family. You know, I've wanted to be here for 29 years.
Thank you. John, in order of priority for the town of Pinedale, share your top three priorities.
First priority is just day-to-day operations. We've had some turnover within town employees, and I think we really need to go and address, you know, what we can do just for our day-to-day operations. Secondly, I'm a huge proponent of getting a recall ordinance in place. If one of us is not doing our jobs and the town feels that we're not doing our jobs for council or for mayor, it doesn't matter. There are mechanisms in place at the state level that we need to adopt to make sure that we don't have the problems that I feel we've had in the past 4 years. My next priority is to really get a handle on what the town needs as far as what to do with the Jackson Park and what to do with some of our properties and water rates, too. So.
Tim, do you need me to repeat the question?
Nope. My first priority would be to bring on a town administrator to professionalize the town staff to a point so that every 2 years or every 4 years, there's not turnover at the staff level. We've seen a lot of that. I think a town administrator would sort of calm down some of the turnover that you get with the mayor. It would require that the mayor would have less authority. Second would be, let's get the hospital built. Why can't the town donate some property? Not at the ball fields. We could buy property, any number of things, but that should be a number one priority. It's been a priority on the town council's list since 2013, if I recall. And third would be to enhance the things that make Pinedale great and not stand in the way of business. One of those things would be continuing to do work on our pathways so that they're all connected throughout town and so that we can all run into our neighbors as we walk through town. Thanks.
Isaac?
I think the first priority that I would like to see addressed is the friendliness of town and civility specifically on the council. I know that's been a sore point in town basically since I moved in. My second and third priorities, I'm not terribly sure on which way I should order them, and I have three things I'd really like to say, but so I'll just say the water bills and bleeder lines, I would like to see that addressed. My understanding is that the law requires Pinedale to bill for water. I would like to see those bills come down as low as we can make them while still following the law and potentially fix the whole issue why we have to have bleeder lines, or at least try to keep that low. And the third thing I'm going to say is diversification of the businesses in town. I know that when the oil field crashed, it really hurt Pinedale and the surrounding areas, and I'd like to see Pinedale become friendly to multiple businesses.
Thank you. John, you're up for the next question. Do you see value in the contract for services for nonprofit organizations, and do you support town funds to financially assist them?
Anybody that's read a paper or sees anything online, I am very much behind our nonprofits. I think it's essential for any community to be behind what boils down to our older people and our younger people. There's been question that, oh, this program's illegal, and I'm not convinced of that. I've had an attorney look at it, and it happens at the county level. It happens across the state, and really a lot of what we fund should go to enhancing our community, and that is our elders and our young people. So I am 100% behind that, and
Yeah, I'll fight for it.
Kim, would you like the question again?
No. I'm going to do John one better. I'm 101% behind contract for services. I absolutely support them. From the preschools to the senior lunches we used to support, you know, there's no question that they enhance the community and that they are legal. And we absolutely need them. There's no reason that the town can't fund those and still maintain streets, and fill the potholes and plow the snow. And we've managed to do that for years. The current administration's angst about it, I think, is misguided and misplaced. And a lot of it is, it was an unnecessary fight. I think the council all supported it unilaterally or unanimously other than the mayor. So absolutely think it's a good thing. And, yeah, that's all I got.
Isaac, would you like the question again?
Could I get the second half of it?
Sure. Do you support town funds to financially assist the contract for services for nonprofits?
First, I'm not an attorney, so my reading of the Constitution is purely a plain English reading. However, Article 16, Section 6 of the Wyoming Constitution does specifically state that municipalities are forbidden from making donations to associations and corporations, among other things. The current council last year, I think, made a fairly good way to kind of not violate that clause by essentially making the funding for the nonprofits be in return for services to the people of Pinedale. And I think that was a good solution. I do generally support the idea of giving money to nonprofits. However, I would also like to state that giving money to nonprofits is not the primary purpose of the town of Pinedale. So as long as we have the funds available to do that, I think that's a good thing that we should be doing.
Thank you. Dean?
Yeah, could you give me the question again, please?
Sure. Do you see value in the contract for services for nonprofit organizations, and do you support town funds to financially assist them?
I'm not familiar with the laws that are being cited either way on that, but I would say that any way we can help nonprofits support our community folks would be something that I would be behind and try to encourage so that they can be encouraged in their endeavor to make our community better.
Okay. Tim, this question is to you first. What is the role of the town council, if any, in economic development?
Well, it's to not put up barriers in it. And I think I've always felt our role was to, when possible, look to the state for matching funds to do, partnerships with business, like the brew pub. We pursued that, Nyla and I, vigorously when we saw that there was a risk of it failing. Unfortunately, it takes five members of the council to get that to happen. But those sort of public-private partnerships is one way to enhance business, certainly. And the rest is just to really not put up barriers. So.
Isaac, what is the role of town council, if any, in economic development?
I believe that the town council is supposed to try to make the town as friendly as possible to business, and that it should be promoting businesses, both those that are currently here and those that might potentially be wanting to move here. However, we do have to be careful not to play favorites. You have to make sure that what you do for one business is done for all. So I think that's the purpose of it.
Thank you. Dean? What is the role of the town council, if any, in economic development?
I think we need to be proactive. I think that we can, as a council, affect some entities in business to look at us and actually want to come here. And there's other examples. I know in Green River, the town council worked to get a new convenience store, and they did that to enhance their community. So I feel like as we go forward, any way that we can enhance our community with new business that is productive to what we want to see in Pinedale, we should pursue that wholeheartedly.
John, do you need the question?
I got it. The town should really take the lead on a lot of economic developments. One of the biggest things that I've heard from business owners is if they don't live in town, we don't have a voice. We have a business, we contribute to the community, but we don't have a voice. We can't vote. And my answer to them is you need to have people on the council that will go to bat for you and that will be your voice on the council. Right now it's a messy issue in multiple states, and I don't see us tackling that, but I think that we can be your voice on the council and really help your business and other businesses that want to come into town.
Okay, Isaac, how would you work to improve relations with the county, local business owners, and community members?
I don't have anything specific that I can think of right now that we could do to improve relations with the county other than just talking with people helps a lot. As far as business owners, there are significant portions of what is geographic Pinedale that are not within the municipal limits of Pinedale. And the current town code essentially requires any area that wants to join Pinedale to build out the water and the sewer lines to those locations before they can even be considered for annexation. I would like to see the town council, whether or not that's changed, I'd like to see that come up before the council. Just take a look at that and see if maybe we could change that portion of the code and allow certain areas to apply for annexation, and we'll just tell them, you know, you can join, you can be part of town, but you won't necessarily have water and sewer right away.
Okay. Dean, how would you work to improve relations with the county, local business owners, and community members?
I think we just need to be open for discussion on issues that come up, and maybe even as a council invite the various constituencies to meet and greets and just informal discussion groups that we can look at these things so that we have some consensus going forward with what's really important. And a good example of that would be the last council meeting where the Rural County Healthcare Board came and really put the council on the hot seat, so to speak, making them, you know, have to do something. But that could have been talked about and discussed, and there could have been a unified plan. So.
Thank you. John?
I think it all boils down to communication between not just the town, not just the county, but all of our citizens. I mean, yeah, we are Pinedale, but we are also Sublette County. I think in the past, especially with consensus funds, there was some butting heads where we didn't communicate with Marbleton and Big Piney that well. It was we have more people, we need more money. And there was not a civil discussion. And it really hurt us at the county level. I'm pretty sure the commissioners didn't really care for that. I think that what they've touched on is really important for us to consider going forward is how can we mend bridges that may have been burnt, broken, and really get on the same page.
Tim?
I think it all comes down to communication as well with the county. Having participated in the last consensus funding meeting, that was not very professional, and it was quite awful to sit through that and watch what went down, and it's no wonder that the county probably never wanted us back. So I think part of that solution would be to professionalize our staff again with the town administrator so that we have continuity between between administrations, and that our staff are, you know, knowledgeable and professional, and that when council members come to the meeting, you know, we're getting all the facts from them, and that citizens can come and businesses can come and know that every decision is not political, that you know, there's a baseline of just straight up professionalism that we expect out of our staff.
Dean, this question comes to you first. Should government provide goods and services available from private businesses?
Does government provide? Is that what you said?
Should government entities provide goods and services available from private businesses?
I feel like government should be less, not more. So any kind of provisions of anything besides the basic things we need to run the community, I wouldn't be in favor of that. We need to encourage private sector businesses that will grow strong and cause our community to be stronger because of their work in providing services. We do provide some services, and so in that, I don't feel like we should stop doing what we're doing, but I don't think we should be adding a lot of services to that.
John, should government entities provide goods and services available from private businesses?
I don't think that it is government's place to go and provide something that the private sector could or does provide. I think the best example you can go and point to is an RV dump station. At one point, that was a privately owned service until the town bought the KOA, and then that went away. And now it's a need that a lot of citizens have said should be here. But the problem with that is there are other places, you have to drive a ways to get to it, that provide that service. There's the fine line that you have to walk of, is this something that we should provide, or is there something that private industry can do? And really, there's no easy, it's like, should we provide entertainment, or does private industry provide entertainment?
Tim, should government entities provide goods and services available from private businesses?
I don't think we should, no. I mean, I think that, you know, the movie theater in Marbleton is a good example of, you know, it's sort of odd, and that partnership helped drive away our movie theater. I don't think there's any question that's you know, giving an upper hand to, you know, that movie theater drove out ours. So, no, I don't think that's something the town should be doing, other than, you know, the primary services of providing water, plowing the streets, filling the potholes, and, you know, and making sure that, you know, we have a safe and thriving community. But no, we shouldn't be interfering with private, and we shouldn't be providing any other goods than those that we already provide.
Isaac?
As I said before, we should not be choosing favorites. When there is already a service being provided or a good being provided by a private entity, I don't think that a government entity has any business going in and competing with that. I do think, however, that a town, because it is essentially the closest form of government to the people, there can be some room for it to be providing some goods and services that perhaps are not being provided by private entities, where perhaps in other areas they are or have in the past been provided. But as a general rule, I don't think that's not a valid thing for government to be doing.
Okay, John, what do you think the best plan is for the KOA and the old town hall?
Ooh, contentious. I like it. Okay. KOA has been a sore spot for a lot of people, and there's been a lot of different ideas what we can do with it. I think what that boils down to in my mind is I want to see these reports that say that the old town hall is unsafe. I want to actually, and if it means, and I'm sorry, if it means hiring a new engineering firm to take a look at it that is not being affected by people in the background, I'm all for that. But if the old town hall is deemed where it's not usable and we have an independent person look at that and I can verify that, then I say we either tear it down or we sell it and let somebody else deal with it, which means where do we build a new town hall? Well, we have that property. Is that the right spot? It could be, but it's not something that we need to go and have a knee-jerk reaction and, you know, be impulsive about it.
Tim?
Well, for the KOA, I got nothing. I didn't like it when we were on town council, and it was purchased while I was out of town. I came back and fought it. It made no sense. It was dropping in price, and if some private entity would have bought it, we would still probably have a KOA. And when the town jumped in, they dug up everything and leveled everything and then dumped gravel on top. So not really a good plan. It wasn't good use of public funds. The town hall, though, the independent report that we received 3 years ago that said it was structurally unsound, but it sounded like the exact same wording that the mayor had used at every single previous meeting, I didn't buy it, and I don't buy it now. The town hall had – we were told that with record snowfall it would collapse. Well, we had record snowfall. It didn't collapse. Record wind, it might blow it off its foundation. We had that. It didn't blow over. It's sound. It's fine, and I think we should move back in.
Isaac?
Regarding the KOA campground, I'm not sure what the best option there would be. It possibly could be simply to let it continue to be a dry camping area. I understand that that is a fairly popular area for dry camping. I also understand that as it currently is, it is not what people would like. I'm not sure what the best option there is. As far as the town hall, what I've been told is that three separate engineers or engineering firms have taken a look at the town hall, and all three of them have come to the same conclusion that it is not structurally sound, does not meet code, possibly never met code. G&S Structural Engineers out of Idaho Falls and Nelson Engineering out of Jackson, Wyoming were two firms who were willing to put that in writing. So I think that what needs to happen is the building needs to be knocked down and probably the lot sold where we would put the new town hall. There is a lot across from American Legion that has been planned for quite some time to be the future site of the town hall.
Dean?
As far as the KOA campground goes, I don't think it was a wise move for the town to buy that. At this point, I feel like the best option would be to put a new town hall there if we need a new town hall. I am aware of reading through the minutes from the meeting and knowing there was discussion on these reports. If the building is condemnable, it needs to be condemned, and we need to replace it. And if the building is salvageable, we need to fix it and use it and be good stewards of what the county or what the city has involved in that building already. That's where I'm at.
Tim, this question's to you. How much involvement should council members and the mayor have on municipal boards and commissions?
Almost none. Other than the town council, I think that I served on the Park and Tree Board for 6 years. When I was elected, I asked to turn in my resignation. The mayor said, no, you've been good on that board. And I was not comfortable with that. And since then, with the current administration, there's too much involvement of the town council on every single advisory board that we have. And so you can have one member of the council really steering the advice from an advisory board, and then what comes back to the council is that member's opinion. And I think we really need to do away with that. I had introduced an ordinance my last week in office in 2016, which was to put the two boards that we could that aren't under state statute as advisory boards. So that would be Park and Tree and the airport board. and that way the council can pick its members.
Isaac, how much involvement should the council members and the mayor have on municipal boards and commissions?
This is not an issue I'm particularly studied up on or anything, but I think that there's probably nothing inherently wrong with there being cross-involvement, but at the same time, there obviously is great opportunity for conflicts of interest and just potential problems. However, Pinedale is still a relatively small town. We've only got roughly 2,000 residents. At some point, you're going to run into a problem of people, either a lack of people or people who don't want to be on particular boards. And so at that point, what do you do? So I think that it would be wisest for the council and the mayor to not be involved in those other boards, but sometimes maybe that's the best option.
Dean, do you need the question?
No, I just was going to comment that I'm not really aware of what goes on specifically with those boards, but if they're advisory boards, then the council and the mayor should be taking their advice and not be on the board offering that advice. And so if they're advisory boards, they need to stay as advisory boards, and the council needs to listen to them.
John?
So this question hits me pretty good, because at one point I was going to offer up to be on planning and zoning and was basically told by proxy from the mayor, don't bother. Jim had the same thing. He offered because there were people that didn't want to serve on the boards because, quite frankly, the boards were being ignored. And he was told, I'm not going to appoint you. When I pressed it, why? He's not good for the town. Well, no. I think it was just he was pushing back against the mayor. Knowing this and knowing that there are other people who have tried to go and be put onto boards and they've been blocked, I want to push to absolve all the boards and hit the reset button. It's been done before. Everybody on a board will reapply, and everybody will get a fair shake and a fair hearing, and we will all have an opportunity to serve our community.
Okay, next question, Isaac. What do you see as Pinedale's greatest opportunity and biggest challenge?
I can't say that this is probably the biggest opportunity, but I think that its location is probably it's an enormous asset. It's a fantastic area. We're close to Yellowstone. People drive through all the time to and from Jackson, from Rock Springs, even from Idaho. Tourism is increasingly a large base of where we are getting our funding, and just the money in the area is coming from. I think that we have some opportunities coming up that we could add to that. For instance, there is Union Wireless is bringing fiber throughout the county. And I believe that there is an opportunity. My understanding is that there is an opportunity for the town of Pinedale to make that available, not just to the businesses, but also to the different the residences. I think that would be a potential big boon. We could bring in lots of various other businesses that would never be able to consider it.
Dean?
I feel the biggest opportunity we have is to maintain the things that make us great, and keep that focus that draws people here. The challenge is to balance all that and not fall off the fence, so to speak, on either side, and keep that challenge in mind to keep our town community as a vibrant place where people want to be, but not embrace every opportunity that I guess could really change the face of Pinedale as a community. So.
John?
You give the question.
What do you see as Pinedale's greatest opportunity and biggest challenge?
Our biggest opportunity is broadband at this point, and just
what we've built, what we have. We have, I mean, just looking around this room, we have a diverse population. You know, it really does kind of transcend what I grew up in. I mean, the town's gotten bigger. My classmates come back and went, wow, the town's really changed. And I'm like, yeah, but it's gotten better for it. I think one of the biggest challenges that we're going to have is diversifying our portfolio, if you will. What can we do? What can we provide our citizens? And really, how are we going to pay for it? And other than that, I think we have probably the best place that I've ever been. So we got to keep it that way. And we don't want to be Jackson.
Tim?
I think our biggest opportunity is to enhance what we have. We have the cleanest water in the country. We have the cleanest air in the country. And, you know, the mayor poisoning our water notwithstanding, it bounced back. We got our water back after he quit being involved. But, you know, those are opportunities, and there's certainly people that move here because of them. The challenge is, you know, the remoteness of our community needs to be, you know, helped out with broadband. And I think when those public-private partnerships I talked about, there's opportunity there to make sure we bring in broadband so that people can work here and work on whatever they're doing on the Internet, and they can live here in the best community in the world. So.
Thank you. Last question, Dean. You get this one. One of the first tasks for the council will be to approve the budget. What are your priorities in the upcoming budget?
In the upcoming budget, I think the gift or the money pledged toward the hospital needs to be there. I think that is a definite thing that we need to, as we talk about opportunities going forward, that's something we need to look at and see if there's viable ways to help with that. And I appreciate the town's commitment already to what they've said regarding that. I think that we need to take care of our infrastructure, too. And as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we need to fix the water problem we have by all the wasting water we do through the bleeders. So they either need to be brought to a uniform standard that lets people not freeze, or we need to fix the infrastructure so that we don't have to bleed all that water down the drain. And really what we're doing is we're paying to treat it, and we're paying to treat it when we put it back in Pine Creek. And so that would be my budget areas.
Good old budget time. So the way I understand it, we're going, whoever's elected will get the budget on the third reading, which is going to be problematic, I think, for new members, because those first two iterations are really what whittles things down. I know that the contracts for services got worked on and worked on and worked on and vetoed and overridden and back and forth. But I want to see that our employees are taken care of, that our infrastructure is being taken care of. We're going to have the valuation on our infrastructure, so hopefully we can revisit those rates, and hopefully we can get a handle. It's a tough question because it's so complicated. Until you really dig your teeth into it, there's not a really good, or not a really good priority you can set.
I'd just like to chastise you for giving us you guys for giving us 90 seconds to answer the most complicated question. But first priority, I think, would be to get the hospital off to square one. We take the $1 million pledge, we buy the land, we give it to the Rural Health Care Board, and they don't have that over the head ever again. That's easy, and it's in keeping with the spirit of what the council voted on 4 years ago. Second, I'd like to see the contract for services put to the 2014 levels at minimum. Our budget has not shrunk since then. Our income and revenue are not down. So, And third, I'd like to see the town look at the water rates, which, you know, according to the study that the town paid for, we're overcharging for water rates. So we need to delve into that again as a council and look closely at why we're building such a huge reserve fund on the backs of the 2,000 people that live here now.
Isaac?
First, regarding just the budget in general, not particularly this year's, but I think obviously we have to have a balanced budget. So that's kind of my operating principle. The very first priority, of course, is the basic functions of the towns, the utilities, the roads, plowing, those kinds of things. And I do agree that the water meters, we need to make those, the bills from those, as low as we can while still fulfilling our obligations. After that, I think there are various opportunities we could go after. I think regarding the hospital, I would like to see Pinedale be contributing to that in some regard. Whether that's giving money, I don't know. But whatever we do, it needs to be, the hospital has to be sustainable. The $28 million is ridiculous. And after that, I mean, we've got the broadband opportunities. We've got lots of things we can do.
Thank you. Now each person will have 1 minute to do a wrap-up, and we're starting with John, who already seemed to have been starting a wrap-up previously, so you have one more minute.
I think that whoever gets elected has an obligation to this town to do the right thing and be civil and get us back on track. It's really hard to go and in a minute wrap up and tell you, you know, what my thoughts of where we can go, but I think that this is the reset button. This is our opportunity to get things back on track and to really, you know, make this a place that we can be proud of and that the rest of the state looks at us and goes, okay, you're not dysfunctional anymore. Everything's working. And I'm not going to say, oh, hey, vote for me. Vote for who you think will serve you the best. And I think any one of us will go and be able to fulfill that.
Tim?
Yeah, I look forward to the opportunity to be a public servant again. I think you can look at my record from 4 years ago and see that I always put the best interests of Pinedale citizens at first and foremost, and I always took time to speak with people and make sure that I was as well informed as I possibly could be up there on, when we were making those decisions. But if you elect me, I think I want to make it so less of this is politics. I think most of us agree on the basic principles of governance, and we've unfortunately turned with this administration everything has to be political, and I think we need to rein that back in and get to civility, as John said. Thanks.
Isaac?
I would like you to vote for me. However, honestly, 60 seconds is hard to get into nuances, but I think that honestly all four of us are largely in agreement on most of the matters we've discussed. I think that civility and friendliness, especially on the council, in the government, is a big thing. I think you're likely going to get it with any of us. I think that just to try and distinguish myself somewhat from the others, I think that probably my biggest asset is I am not from this area. I'm relatively new, so I can come to the table with kind of a clean slate and just look at something and not have a built-in idea of this is how it's supposed to work, this is how it's always been run, we have to do it this way. So I'm able to be open-minded.
And Dean?
If elected, I would count it a privilege to be a steward of the community of Pinedale, and would make it a point to know what the citizens' concerns were regarding what's going on, and do my best to make wise decisions based on information. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to look right at you and say I'll have to research that and find out what that is and how I can best know more about that. And that would be my take on that. I do think that with the hospital before us and other projects that we do need to have a cohesive communicating group going forward.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to take a 10-minute break at this time, give everyone a chance to stretch, use the restrooms as you need to, and then we will resume with our mayoral candidates. Thank you.
Okay, and you're listening to a live broadcast of the forum for the municipal election. This is KPIN Pinedale. We, of course, will be with the second half of this also to bring you the mayors, three candidates for mayor. Hey, now this radio broadcast is being brought to you by James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate. We're going to talk about a few of his listings. I'm also going to go back and review a little bit the names of the candidates and a little bit about the election. But let's start with one of the listings here that James Thomas would like to have me announce. Now this one is out at Utility Lane at the industrial site. I'm looking at a picture of it, and it's not up against anything junky. It's a very, very nice location, even though it does say industrial site. I think it's in a nice location, stick-built, two-story home, single-family home, on just under 1 acre. It's 0.95 acres. Now, the price on this is $495,000. It was built in 2004, so it's still very, very new. It has a total square footage of 2,932 square feet. Has four bedrooms, and pretty much it's just a residential and a huge shop in the Pinedale Industrial Park. Again, four bedrooms plus 1.5 baths on three levels and about 3,198 total square feet of living quarters, plus an additional 2,300 square feet of shop area with a work pit. Now, that alone right there makes this really valuable. If you're one of these guys that works out of your home, to have this large work area, this would be a wonderful piece of property. Just under 1 acre. The seller is highly motivated to have you make an offer on it. Here's the there's no CCRs. There's no none of these homeowner restrictions on it. So this gives you the freedom to do a lot of things you couldn't do maybe in some of the other subdivisions. So again, it's out at Utility Lane, Pinedale, $495,000. And again, James Thomas would be happy to talk to you about this piece of property. Now here's another one that's quite a bit less money. We'll drop down in price now. This one has a listing price of $198,500, sitting on 5 acres, and this is out on the Chief Joseph Road. That's in the Green River Ranches out near Daniel. Now, this property is a one-story single-family home. It's 1,920 square feet, has three bedrooms, and it's just a wonderful modular home sitting on 5 acres in the Green River Ranches subdivision. It has two living areas in it, beautiful wood-burning fireplace and a den playroom. They complement the home, and so much potential with this home. Full 1,920 square feet of unfinished basement, already stubbed for a bathroom as well. So you've got a full basement here. You don't see that very often here in town. So let me tell you once again, the price, $198,000 out at Chief Joseph Road, not too far from Daniel and Green River Ranches, three-bedroom home. And I'm looking at it right now, and what I think is appealing is a lot of land, 5 acres surrounding this home. So we've got a lot you can do with this property. Let me just take a quick break here and mention the fact that as we're doing this forum, let me give you the names of the candidates one more time. The ones you just heard from were the town council candidates, Dean Loftus. Now, Susan Lynn was not able to attend, so she did not speak tonight. Isaac Best, John Paravicini, and Timothy Lingle. These were the people you just heard from. Again, Dean Loftus, Isaac Best, John Paravicini, and Timothy Lingle. Now, coming up in just a bit, we're going to have the mayors, and the candidates for mayor, there's three of them, Matt Murdock, Jimmy Brost, and Tyler Swofford will be speaking. We'll be electing one mayor, and on the town council, we'll be electing two town council people. So when you go to vote on May 8th, you'll be voting for two town council candidates. Now, again, in order to vote, you need to live in the town limits of Pinedale. It's a municipal election, and the voting's going to take place from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. at Wrangler Gym out by the high school, again, on May 8th. Again, thank you very much to James Thomas for sponsoring this radio broadcast, James Thomas with High Mountain Real Estate here in Pinedale. Let's look at another property. This is kind of an interesting one. Now, this is a little higher-priced one once again. This is $518,900, built in 1982. But this sits on 10 acres. It's a five-bedroom, five-bedroom home, single-family, one-story. And what this has is a huge five-bedroom, four-bath house, plus a one-bedroom, one-bath suite apartment above the garage. So you got kind of like a mother-in-law place up above the garage, or a place you could maybe rent out to somebody. It's just outside Pinedale. This is located in the Redstone-New Fork River area. This is on Redstone-New Fork River Road, just a little bit outside of Pinedale. Beautiful views overlooking the town of Pinedale, Rendezvous Metal Golf Course, the New Fork River bottom, fishing easement is included, and more. Stunning head-on views of the Wind Rivers and background views of the Wyoming and Gros Ventre ranges. Beautifully landscaped yard with visitors of moose, deer, antelope, and others that come by. Also, it's a bird-watching haven. I'm looking at it. It's a very, very interesting house because you've got this garage that's attached to it, that has the second story of the garage has a living quarters in it. Then, of course, the house itself is separate, and it has a living quarters. So you've got a place to maybe tuck away a mother-in-law or maybe a college kid that came back home or whatever, or maybe you could rent it out. Again, this is in the Redstone New Fork River Road area, $518,900, five-bedroom home. And, again, this is being offered by James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate. Now let's look at another one. We'll go back the other way now to a lower priced one. This one is out in the Barger subdivision. This is at Meadowlark Lane, kind of between Pinedale and Boulder. This one's listed at $179,000, so this is a very reasonably priced home. Sitting on 0.9 acres, you've got quite a bit of land around it. Two-story home, in fact, two-story, single family. It has two bedrooms, one bath, and let's take a look at a few of the details here. It's a perfect starter home for maybe a summer home or a person just starting out owning a home. Great location, fairly close to the BLM forest land and the mountain lakes. It's situated on about 1 acre with the Fayette Canal in the back, wood stove for those winter nights. And about 300 square feet on the second floor that could be finished out into a third bedroom if you want. You could make a third bedroom up there on that second story. So additional storage space is in the garage, and there's also RV hookups at the outside rear of the garage. Now, this is a stick-built home. It was built in 2008. It's in great condition overall, so make plans to come and take a look at this piece of property. It's a good starter one here, $179,000 for a 1,120-foot home, two-bedroom home, although you could put a third bedroom in the upstairs if you wanted to build that out. All right, I've got one more piece of property I want to talk about. This is an RV park. In fact, you might know what it is. It's Rob's Roost Mobile Home and RV Park. That's in the Marbleton area on East 3rd Street in Marbleton. So this is kind of a combination of a place to live and a place to earn a little money. It's kind of like a combination business and home all in one. So this is in Marbleton. It's in the heart of Marbleton, right off of Highway 189. So it's a choice highway frontage, one of the main thoroughfares that people will be passing by as they come up
to go to Jackson Hole or the Grand Teton or Yellowstone Park. And the seller would entertain various splits of the property if any potential buyer is interested in doing that. So it's got forced air ducts, suspended gas blower, suspended radiant heat. The house was stick-built. And, again, it's on East 3rd in Marbleton. So it's a combination place to live and a place to bring some revenue in. Again, this is all available. All of these properties I've been talking about are available from High Mountain Real Estate, James Thomas. Let me give you a phone number for James Thomas. Best thing to do is call him on his cell phone. He loves that. You go right to him, and he can tell you about it. His cell phone is 231-0167. Again, that cell phone for James Thomas, 231-0167. Now, I'm still sitting here waiting to see if the form's going to start up. It might be ready to start in another minute or so. But give James Thomas a call. Now, maybe you're looking for something other than these five properties that I just spoke about. Maybe you want to build. He's got some vacant lots, some beautiful vacant lots available. Talk to him about vacant lots if you are interested in building from scratch on a vacant lot. Again, get hold of him and he'll be able to show you some of the vacant lots here in the area. Again, that's James Thomas. Let me give you that cell phone number one more time. It's 231-0167 at High Mountain Real Estate. And maybe just give him a call and thank him for bringing you the form. That would be great. He'd love that. 231-0167. Well, I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. I think we might be getting a little closer here to starting the mayor portion of this forum. The forum is taking place in the Shepherd Auditorium in the high school. If you want to run out and see it in person, just walk on in, take a seat. There's plenty of room there. Or keep the radio on. Also, when this is done, I'm going to make a recording of this and send it to Pinedale Online. Dawn Ballou will put it on her website, pinedaleonline.com, and that way you'll be able to take a listen to it later. Well, it looks like they're about ready to start here, so let's get ready to bring them up.